Welcome to episode 119 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British soap institution, Coronation Street. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Michael.
And this week we'll be discussing the episodes broadcast in the UK between the 20th and the 22nd of October 2014.
Got an early episode this week. This is probably like the closest we've ever done to episodes of the podcast, apart from like the New Year special ones. When did we do the last one? Was it Sunday night?
Yeah.
And it is now only Thursday.
But don't forget, we won't be able to do it next week either because it's Halloween. We're going to Halloween party.
We're going to Halloween party on Friday, are we?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, but that's Tracy's wedding.
I wasn't invited.
Oh.
She should have invited me.
What are we going to do about the podcast next week? Maybe we'll have to record it on Saturday.
We should start a tradition. Whenever a Coronation Street character has a wedding, I get to post a picture of myself wearing a wedding hat because there's no way I'm going to get to wear any of these hats at weddings.
You should.
I've just decided that all of my friends are godless heathens who will never get married.
It's true, actually. We've like, as a couple, and we have been going out for how long have we been going out? No, 13 years. We've been to like one or two weddings together as a couple.
Went
to one of my children's, not one of my teachers at school.
Yeah, and then we went to Emily's reception.
Yeah,
but it wasn't a wedding.
Yeah,
she got married abroad.
And we went.
And my other friend's getting married in bloody Costa Rica.
Yeah,
and I can't go probably. I can't see how I can get to that.
So the best we can do is put on a special hat when a curry character has a wedding.
What else have we? Have we really not been to any other?
Oh no, we went to Mark and Ruth's wedding, didn't we?
Four.
Yeah. I mean, all our other friends go to like four weddings a year.
Lorraine went
What's
to like.
What's wrong with us?
No,
why don't
last,
we get invited?
Year before last, Lorraine went to 10 weddings in 1 year. She's like Kate Middleton. Mm. Is that fair?
Yeah, well, she's rich, isn't she? Anyway, that's what we're doing next weekend.
What
are
we talking about?
We were talking about next week. We're also going to have a strange podcast, and it means we're possibly going to not have Tracy talk.
Well, it kind of works out okay because then we're doing another.
Yeah, another week's worth. Because this week we're only doing three episodes because we're down in London, up in London again this weekend for Gemma's job.
2 weekends in a row I'm working. Do I get appreciated for it? No.
No, you do not. I appreciate it.
You appreciate me not being here last week?
Yeah, it was good. It's lad's weekend.
Oh, wow.
On my own.
Yeah, crying because
my
3DS is being fixed.
My 3DS is being sent to Nintendo to fix it and they're taking forever.
It costs £77 to
yeah,
fix it.
Yeah, I'm really annoyed.
Well, so am I.
Withdrawal symptoms.
Yeah, there you go.
I can't even say the word.
£77.
Right. What has happened this week in Coronation Street history? Well, 50 years ago this week, Len Fairclough found out from Enid. This is another one of those no editing episodes. Nobody's ever written in like and said to us, oh, that was shoddy podcast, that one you didn't edit, which makes me like think
it's not worth
do
bothering.
I even need to bother editing normally?
No one else does. I've listened to some shocking ones in my time.
I need to listen to that one that you were on last week, don't I? I'd love to. Anyway, 50 years since Len Fairclough found out from Ina Sharples that his ex-wife Nellie had died of cancer.
Oh,
tragic
lovely.
Start to the
45
week.
45 years ago, Elsie Tanner was charged with shoplifting after taking Dot Greenhulg, like Hesmentag, her bag out of Miami Modes containing unpaid dresses.
Yes, and then Dot was like saying, I don't even know who this person is, by the way. She said, no, I didn't tell you to take that bag. And Elsie was like, oh. So I don't know, I think she got in trouble for that.
Oh, terrible.
I've got no idea. 30 years since Molly Compton was born.
We've got a favourite cafe in the centre of town. We might have mentioned this before.
I don't think we have.
And it's a French cafe, and there's a French waitress there who looks exactly like Molly would do in about 20 years' time.
She does. She looks just like her.
She could be her mum. She's incredible. And every time we go in there, we stare at her like, oh my God, Molly's back from the dead.
Molly will never look like that.
It could be her, though. The actress is still alive. They don't kill them. I heard they don't kill them off in real life.
Well, no, good job because like, they keep bringing characters back at the moment, don't they? Talk more about that later. Not dead ones. They haven't gone that far yet. Stuart Blackburn is on a mission to bring back all the old characters at the moment. We talk about that at the end. 15 years ago, since Spider got a job at the DSS, working for the man.
Starship DSS.
What?
That's what it sounds like.
The Department of Social Security, working for the man. Going against the principles. And off screen, no, kind of on screen, not related to plot.
Production wise.
Yes. 25 years ago, Coronation Street started going 3 times a week.
Really?
I can't believe it was only 2 times. How do you do it? Yeah, but they couldn't have done a podcast.
But technically, it's 5 times, isn't it?
It's 5 times a week now, yeah. But 25 years ago, it started going 3 times a week. And when I started watching it, it was 3 times a week.
What,
and
that is just right for a soap. Bunch of slackers. No.
Them were different times.
Every day. 2 hours a day.
Well, that's what they have in... where is it they're trying to catch up? Oh, Canada was catching up recently, and they had lots of extra ones, didn't they? They're just like a week behind us now in Canada.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, you finally made it. Right, let's move on and talk about this week's mini few episodes in Street Talk. So despite there only being 2 days worth of Coronation Street to talk about, we still got 6 storylines, although some more major than others. We're going to have 7, actually, won't we? We cut one out. We are starting off with our Sailor in the Dock storyline, Barlow in the Big House, as it were. Oh my gosh, what a shocker. Come back to that later.
I know.
Second, we've got our Sad McDonald storyline. We kind of mix all that up with the Jim and Liz Tony kind of stuff as well. Then we got our Kylie drugs. Gemma had a job this week, and that was to find out.
I had one job.
To come up with a better name for the Max dosage, because this is not about Max, and it hasn't been about Max for a while. I don't know.
Kylie's a rogue instead of like Kylie Minogue?
What about Need for Speed?
Yeah.
That'll do. If anyone's got anything better, send it in.
No one ever helps us with these.
Nobody helps us with our storyline titles. And we've lost our creativity.
I told you, when you started this, you've made a rod for your own back now.
Yeah.
I told you that.
We got the Rob Roy storyline. Roy robbed. We got Windass stuff, which also doesn't have a name.
Windass stuff.
Windass stuff. And this next one. This one is just special for us, this storyline title. We are stuck with... Ta-dam! Community Centre.
Because we seem to be the only one that cares that she says param.
She said it once.
And now we start to wonder, did she even ever say it, or did we just imagine that's what she said?
Yeah, but if you've forgotten this, which you probably have, when Yasmin revealed that she was having a community centre to Katie, wasn't it? She was, no, I'm sure. It was just her just ta-da.
Param. Community centre.
And this has become a thing that me and Gemma say to each other now. Yeah. We use it as part of it's entered our everyday parlance.
Yeah, instead of saying ta-da, we go param.
We say it instead of like, here you go, or here I am. We now say param in honour of Yasmin, and she'll probably never say it again. But
because we know now that they listen to us, our podcast, and they steal ideas from us all the time.
Yeah, like which character should come back.
Yeah, so, and also to make a community centre in the first place. So, and also to make a gym.
Yeah.
And also...
So now they need to make Yasmin's catchphrase.
Param.
Because she's the kind of character that could do the catchphrase.
She can ham it up.
Yeah, definitely. So we've got our Param Community Centre.
And I'm never going to call it. What is it called?
Jamila Community Centre.
No, it's not called that. It's boring. It's Param Community Centre.
So.
Anyway.
Sailor in the Dock. Wow.
Okay, well, in the beginning of the week... Ken is quietly confident that Peter's going to be let off because he's purchasing food.
As were we. Well, we didn't purchase food. But
No, I didn't get any food in for him, but...
We were convinced, utterly convinced, and I'm sure lots of other people were.
That he was going to be let off because he didn't do it.
Yeah.
And they never have miscarriages of justice in Coronation Street.
No, never. Well, Carla doesn't want to go to court at first, does she? She says, I don't want my life to revolve around Peter. And Peter...
Well, no one was expecting there to be a verdict this week.
Like, no, I wasn't sure. I mean, I'm glad they did do it, because if they'd have dragged it out for longer, it would have kind of lost it. But the fact that it built up from last week, they needed that verdict.
I think it would have been... I thought it would be on Friday.
This Friday, yeah. No, I'm really glad that they did it. I mean, the thing is, it seemed to be such a clear-cut case that the jury probably didn't need to go out for deliberation long.
Talk about it in a minute, because...
Meanwhile, in the prison, Jim is coming so to see Peter, and he's like saying, you'll be with me soon, and who knows, maybe we'll have a bunk next to each other or whatever.
Well, Peter's like, no, I'm not going to be here for very long, because who knows, the verdict could be back in a couple of days.
Yeah. Simon is also convinced that Peter's not going to be found guilty, because Rob told him so, and I never really bought why he thought that just because
Rob
says it.
They're making this into a far more important aspect of... Rob's guilt, I think. They're building a case purely around the fact that he said this to Simon. And Simon accuses Leanne and Cal of not liking Peter, and that's why they think he did it. And so Cal takes Simon away to play some games while Ken and Leanne have a little chat about what they're going to do with Simon. Because they're still not really sure about what's going to happen. so no,
they need to like prepare him.
We don't actually get any
either eventuality.
Any chat about this?
No. So Tracy's got a wedding dress appointment this afternoon that she has to cancel because the verdict could be coming. And actually, it is coming. Well, Ken says that they could be there for days, but actually,
no,
they've decided already, nice and quickly.
Well, Carla has to leave. She has this meeting with Mrs. Waddle that's been building up for days. And
that was a funny meeting, and she was obviously quite distracted, but it was Sally's time to shine. And yeah. I love how when Carla left the meeting, Sally just like stood up and slipped down into Carla's chair.
Yeah, exactly.
She's running the place in her own mind.
Carla arrives just in the nick of time for the foreman of the jury to say that they have reached a verdict, which is
dum dum dum. And that was the cliffhanger on Monday's episode. It wasn't a great cliffhanger because it's so common. Whenever there's a verdict in court,
I'm fine with it. It's
a cliffhanger. What they should have done something is maybe said we've reached our verdict. How do you plead? What do we call? What's the word that you've reached? And then maybe they should have just like cut to Simon looking at his phone, and then maybe a shocked expression on Simon's face. I don't know whether he could have pulled it off. It would have had to be like an ambiguous shocked expression on Simon's face. I would have preferred that, just the standard, like, pause. Don't you think?
Okay.
That is my suggestion for next time, just to shake things up a little bit. But anyway, we were both sitting on the sofa when the verdict came, and oh my gosh, we couldn't believe it.
Our jaws both dropped, didn't they?
We both just put our hands up to our mouths, and we don't usually do that. We don't get into it so much, do we? Just kind of sit and watch it, and we're sitting there making our notes and everything. But literally, we both, like, froze, and we just... couldn't believe it actually happened.
Because he was found guilty.
Guilty.
What?
ITV did a very good job of keeping it quiet. And it just goes to show what we've been saying about why we want them to keep more things quiet.
It was good.
People like spoilers, but oh, this was great not to know. Just imagine what having those shocks. I mean, even like Scylla coming back this week. If we hadn't known that Scylla was coming back... Well, that would have almost been a bigger shock, wouldn't it? Who's this at the door?
Of course.
It's Scylla.
It would have been amazing.
So why can't we have those moments? They do. But they did.
They can't help it these days.
I know. I know they had to with Wendy Peters and getting the publicity and everything. But I'd really love... They just need to like, have a month. Spoil a few months and see how it goes.
People like me, if I wasn't doing this podcast, I wouldn't know anything about Coronation Street. And it would be a surprise to me.
Mm. We are in a different position that we kind of can't avoid things, and we try and avoid things. But I mean, when I go on Digital Spy to look at other things, there's Corrie spoilers all over the place. Sorry. For example, and I'm not going to say what the spoiler is, but as soon as this trial thing came out, all over the internet, like the next day, plastered about what Rob's going to be doing next week, completely ruining any element of surprise. So I now know what's going to be going on with Rob next week. Now I don't want to know, but they just like shove it in our faces. They should have just kept it up because this is so good. Well, I think with the wedding next week, they're
spoiler.
I think that they're not saying what's going to happen. I think I've got a feeling. I went on to Corrie.net and just to have a quick scan, not to look for spoilers, but I can't remember what I was looking there for now. And on next Friday's episode, it says ITV hasn't provided a synopsis, so it looks like they're trying to keep it quiet. But I mean.
Even today I went onto the magazine website that hosts our magazine, and they also do soap magazines, and they saw loads of front colours.
Yeah, it's just a shame because this is such a brilliant shock. Absolutely loved it, and so and well done for them for keeping it up. But anyway.
But I was going to talk about the fact that you said it was a clear cut case, and so they would. Obviously it was a clear-cut case, they found him guilty straight away, but I think it's silly. In real life, there's no way a jury could come back so fast to find him guilty because the evidence was ridiculous.
Okay, yeah,
the evidence, so there was no evidence.
Not really.
No evidence.
There was far too much evidence that would cast reasonable doubt, and that's what it's supposed to be, isn't it?
Exactly.
If you're not 100% certain, unanimously, I really don't believe that there was enough evidence
that
was completely damning him. There was... plenty that would have made it hanging a minute. How did this happen?
Well, it's kind of shoddy, really, because they're in charge of everything that happened. I mean, the show is just a complete figment of their imaginations. They could have made more damning evidence if they wanted it to be
Yeah, definitely. It just seemed like, I mean, it was great that there was the spoiler, but yeah, the case hadn't gone,
The case
it
was
hadn't
not
led
very
us to
good.
believe. No, it's a shame because, and it was exciting stuff last week, but yeah, maybe they hammed up the fact that maybe he could be innocent a bit too much, because I don't understand why the jurors would have come to that decision,
They're
to be
all
honest.
drunk.
They just wanted to go home, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
Well, they know it's
yeah,
Halloween coming up.
poor old
Poor
Peter.
Peter. Simon finds out via a text message and he runs out of the kebab shop, he's crying. Rob is very excited and he tells Carla justice has been served and now she can get on with her life. But she doesn't really want to hear this. She already had reservations about whether he was truly guilty, and
She
now
knows he's
it's kind
innocent.
of shocked her because she thinks, no, this isn't right.
So Leanne's now on the next to the nation's greatest child actor on the bench,
Of all
trying
time.
to offer him some consolation about his dad being banged up. Alex Bain again not doing the most amazing job, but doing a good lot of face screwing at least. But Leanne is trying to convince. Not convince him, it's just trying to bring him round to the fact that okay, actually, probably he did do it,
Yeah, but
which
he
must have been
still
difficult for
loves.
her because she obviously does think that he didn't do it. And I think if
What?
you, well, that's what she said, isn't it? When Leanne was up on the stand last week, she was saying, "I don't think he's done it," and
Right.
I don't believe that just because a jury says no, he did do it, that that's going to change your mind particularly. But she was trying to convince him, and maybe I don't know whether she was trying to convince herself or what, that he was guilty. But I guess he needs to get his idea around. If she sort of said, I guess said that there was any hope that, oh, no, actually no, he didn't do it. You never know. Maybe he will be able to appeal and get him out. That's not the right thing to say either, because it's giving him false hope, isn't it?
Well,
At least he still loves Simon, whatever.
yeah, Ken's distraught. He doesn't know how he's going to tell Deirdre.
Deirdre doesn't care. She doesn't even,
No.
not even turned up for the
He
trial.
thinks family life has been ruined forever. And then Tracy goes into the Rovers and she hears everyone talking about the verdict and calls them a bunch of vultures, which is quite hilarious because she is a vulture herself. And she also tells Carla at the bar that it's Carla's fault that Peter's gone down. Which is weird because she didn't say that. She said he was innocent. Carla did. Carla can't take it. She goes away and Rob follows her and then they bump into Leanne and then Leanne's freaking out at Rob for telling Simon that he was innocent, that Peter was innocent. And she has a go at him for filling Simon's head with nonsense because now it's even more difficult to get him to accept what's happened.
Yes, and still, nobody suspects Rob.
No. Now, poor Peter cries himself to sleep in prison.
Oh
Because what
yeah,
else would you do?
sad. You haven't said about this, but Simon wanting
What?
to change his name back to Simon
Oh,
Richard because
yeah.
he's a sh he hates his dad.
Oh, yeah, and the dad I
I'm
do.
ashamed of being a Barlow.
Which is a bit harsh. We're surrounded by Barlows.
Yeah, the Barlow is a proud tradition in Coronation Street. Simon can't stay Barlow because he's got to. The name of, I mean, must stay Barlow
Yeah.
so that the name of Barlow lives on in the street.
Amy can carry it. But he then says he wants to go back to his original name, and we all start going, what
What
was
was
that?
Lucy's
Because he
name?
could really have his pick of any names. He could be Tilsley.
Yeah.
He could be, what was
How many
Leanne?
mums and dad?
What was it? Battersby,
Battersby could
yeah.
be.
Why not?
Yeah. But no, Simon Richards, which is a nice.
Sounds too posh.
Nice
Richard
name.
sounds posh to me.
You think? I think my other teacher called Mrs. Richards once. She wasn't posh.
Oh, wow. I don't
Yeah.
think they're related.
We Carla is left at the end of the episode with the classic, "If he didn't kill Tina, who did? Who?"
Is
Which is
this.
what
Does she say this to Rob?
she says it to Rob because
Okay.
she's still convinced of Peter's innocence. Rob's saying, "Well, he did it.
Obviously,
Obviously,
he did it. Let's move on.
let's move on. He did it. Tough luck for him." And we didn't we say that last week? That's what they say. They say he didn't do it, kill it, who did? But then they've just been leaving it at that, and then that's what happened again
She's
this
the
week,
first
didn't they?
person to really ask who, if he didn't do it, then who did? Because
Oh yeah, even Ken saying that.
I would, yeah, no, everyone who's convinced that he didn't do it hasn't gone any further than it wasn't him. Wouldn't you be a bit concerned that there's a lunatic running around your community, Param community, killing people and bashing their heads in? Because I'd be worried about it.
Yeah, I think Richard Hillman's back
If
again.
someone got murdered around the corner from here, I'd be really worried.
Yeah.
And like, imagine if they accused you, and I knew it wasn't you. I would be worried that their real murderer is going to turn up.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be like, oh, it's a miscarriage of justice.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's,
right.
it's a fictional TV programme. They should be on the case doing detective work. It should be like Hetty Wainthrop.
Yeah. Well, I know what's going to happen now, I know, because these silly spoilers. Do you know what's going to happen from the soap magazines you've seen?
No,
you just said you saw some soap
covers. I just saw a picture of Tracy.
Oh, okay. Yes, she is going to be in it next week.
She's
going
to be in it. I'm going to go to her wedding.
All we had on that from then and Wednesday was we finding out that Peter's got 28 days left to appeal. And
so
Tracy's...
he's going to sell the shop.
Yes,
that's
basically.
The main thing.
Yeah, because the cost of the appeal.
Yes.
So,
Rob and Tracy are in.
Dum dum dum.
In craps.
Yeah. So what do you think? Do you think that's going to happen? We've only had Barlow's buys for less than a year.
I find it fascinating. What happens to people's assets when they're in prison? Then, because Peter's in prison, so he can't profit from having his shop, but it must all be saving up. Up in a bank account.
No, he didn't profit from the shop anyway at the moment, does he? Is he just the landlord of the building? He's not getting any money from Barlow's boys. He's just getting the rent from
money.
Rob and Tracy. Yeah, that's all he's getting from it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Where's it go? Just in a nice little bank account for you.
Yeah.
God,
it's like your pension,
actually,
isn't it?
I'd quite like to go to prison for a bit because stop me spending money and buying things.
Yeah, exactly.
Because most of the things I buy are on the internet, and you can't go on the internet.
What?
I don't think you're allowed on the internet if you're in prison.
I bet Jim McDonald can. I bet he's got
a
secret.
He's got a smartphone.
Yeah, secret phone somewhere.
Don't get an iPhone 6 giant one, because if you sit on it, it'll bend. Yeah.
Right, speaking of Jim McDonald, should we move on and talk about the Steve / Jim stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Monday. Steve does not want to go to court because he's ashamed of what he said, and he thinks that... Peter's going to be found guilty because of it, and he knows that it's all his fault.
Yeah,
so he doesn't want to go.
Depressed.
And everyone says, everyone kind of acts like, well, too late now, you've already done it, you might as well go and listen. But Liz says, I'm going to go to see Jim and tell him I'm not going to come to see him anymore, which seems to be defeating the purpose of the visit.
Yeah, it's just like
she has gone to see him quite a lot to tell him that she doesn't want to see him anymore.
Well, was she not still in the contract with him then? Well, kind of verbal contract saying, now I'll keep on going if you look after Peter. But by this point, Peter hadn't been found guilty, had he? I can't remember whenabouts in the episode it happened. Yeah, that was the first thing on Monday. But yeah, so she's going to tell Peter that anyway.
So Michelle convinces Steve to go with him.
Her?
To... go with her to the court. Yes, that's right. We're not editing this. So they go off together. Tony comes into the pub and Liz is there and they're both sniping at each other.
Yeah, they're still waiting from last week for the other one to apologise, aren't they?
Yeah.
And he doesn't like the idea that she's going to go and see Jim.
Again. And he gets all annoyed about it. But Liz tells him to go and polish his head.
That was good. I like that one.
Yeah. So Liz goes to the prison and she tells Jim, I'm not going to see you anymore. Even if I was in love with you, I'd want more than this anyway. Because you're just stuck in prison. So what's the point of being in a relationship? And then Jim jumps in and says, oh, it's okay. I'm on the list to be moved to an open prison so I can come home and visit you. Now, Liz points out that Jim never told her that this was going to happen. And he convinced her that her visiting him was the only thing that was keeping him going in prison. And he had no other ray of light and hope in his life. So she gets annoyed and says that he's just been manipulating her. And he says, no, I want a future with you. And she says, that is never going to happen. I am finally rid of you. And she leaves.
Yeah, now we wondered whether that was Jim McDonald's final scene, didn't we? And he was back later in the week. But the way that ended seemed like he walks away with her head held up high and he was just like,
my hearties.
Why is he on the list for an open prison if he's just been busted for being booze smuggler?
I don't think he was busted. I think...
still Steve reported him, didn't he? Wasn't that one thing that happened? Didn't Steve report him when he came to visit him last?
Did he?
I thought he reported him.
No, he busted him for... this week, he busted him for something else.
Yeah, he did it for the phone this week, but
okay,
I'm sure
he
told the guard a few weeks ago.
Very lenient people who work in prisons. You've got to forgive and forget. Move on with your life. So, Tony and Eileen are in the Rovers chatting away, and Liz is a bit moody, and Steve comes in and announces... Peter's verdict.
I think people knew by that point, but he's just very drained because he's heard about it and he feels completely guilty. And like the only reason that he's been sent down is because of what he said when he was like blurted out that he thinks he did it.
Yeah. It's all his
but
fault.
But he does at least get out of his wallowings to notice that Liz isn't looking right, so he takes her into the back, and then she reveals to him about Jim's secret phone that he's got there, and him blackmailing her, and this possible prison move, and Steve is absolutely livid once more because of Jim, because he's like, thinks I've been played for a fool. I thought he was interested in seeing me, but he just really wanted to get through to you, and I think Jim did want to see Steve, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he's just being a bit overdramatic, really. Cause
it's because he's depressed.
Aww.
Oh, sad. But then he's going to go down that prison.
March right down the prison.
Yeah, and tell Jim, give him what for.
Yeah,
so that's good. What he goes to does on Wednesday. He doesn't know what he's going to say. He's just upset because he's been used. Meanwhile, Eileen is telling Tolly that he needs to swallow his pride and go back to Liz. But you can't. You can't
well,
at the moment.
At that
she's
moment, she's on the phone. She's flirting with somebody called Greg at
your
brewery and going, "Oh, I'll go out to dinner with you."
I was fed up. I don't know whether I'm glad or not that they got back together because I'm not hugely fussed about them as a couple. I would much rather that this whole storyline had ended, that Liz and Jim were a couple again, a long distance couple, sort of behind the prison glass or whatever.
Liz out of trouble, doesn't it?
I much prefer the idea of Liz and Jim as a happy couple, and I'm a bit disappointed with how it's
you
ended.
You are
really.
Very mean to poor Liz. She deserves better.
Oh,
than
but Jim loves her.
Jim hit her.
He loves her.
He hit her.
And but Tony's just I just think he'd drop her. Honestly, do I think that's what's going to happen? I think Liz is going to get her heart completely broken by
you're not
Tony.
Not very PC. You're supposed to you not go back if you get hit.
Hmm.
Right. So.
So Steve goes to have a moan at Jim, and Jim's like pretending that, oh, what do you mean I didn't manipulate anybody? And Steve's like saying, no, I'm fed up with this. I'm sick of your poison. And by the way, Mr. Prison Guard, Jim's been using a mobile phone in here. And then Jim gets absolutely furious, and that was quite good.
Very good acting. He was bright red.
Yeah, pretty well. Ah, bright red, screwing
his
face.
You're gonna beat you up like that.
Yeah.
And he gets dragged away, and it's insinuated between shouting that this has ruined his chances to be in an open prison, which means we're not going to get any dropping in from Jim. Which is a shame, because that would have been a perfect way of them having him as an infrequent guest visitor.
But the way he is at the moment, I don't know whether he actually can come back from this. Because, I mean, most of the other times that Jim's come back, he's not been quite so much of a villain. I mean, he like escaped to go to Blackpool with Liz, but then he just got caught. And even the whole thing with the bank robbery last year. I mean, he was a team with Liz. I mean, not with the bank robbery, but obviously. But they were trying to decide to buy the Rovers together, and he decided the only way he could do it was to rob this building society. So there was definitely the possibility that it could come back. And I know when he came back this time, for some reason, Liz and Steve were like saying were hating him because he abandoned them. But I think I don't know how the character can come back from this, which is a shame.
Prison changes a man.
Yeah,
I have
but
to say.
But the Liz and Steve seem like they've washed their hands of him even much more than they had done before. I don't know whether he's gonna get
back. He'll be back if he wants to come back. They'll bring him back. Don't worry about that.
I do hope so, because I think Jim's a fantastic
character.
Don't
worry about it. It's not your place to worry about these things.
Do you think that this scene with him being dragged off was the last we'll see of him?
Well, every single time he's in it now, I think that's the last we'll see. Oh, here he is again.
Yeah.
Well, because Peter's gone back into prison, he could still pop up until Peter gets let out or...
Yeah.
Or Peter leaves or whatever. I don't know what's happening with him, because now he's in prison. I don't know.
Well, I mean, all I can assume is that with the wedding next week... Something's going to happen next week, and I know one thing that's going to happen next week because they're plastering it everywhere, but I don't know when in the week that's going to happen.
Stop being so mysterious.
I know, sorry. The wedding is obviously not going to go without a hitch. Something's going to happen, and I don't think Peter's going to be in prison for long. So maybe we've just got a week left to Jim. I don't know.
Well, who knows? So. This is maybe the end of Jim, we don't know. Tony goes to speak to Liz in the Rovers, and he says, oh, I care about you. And she says, oh, apology accepted. And he says, no, I didn't apologise to you, you lied to me. And then she gets a text, and
Greg bloke.
And he's like, oh, that's from Greg, and grabs the phone, and they start flirting and kissing. And then they end up snogging and getting back together again.
Hooray.
And then Michelle reveals that Greg was gay all along. Which, haha.
Yes, exactly. So Steve comes back from prison, tells Liz that Jim's not going to bother them anymore, but doesn't say why.
Well, he's traumatised because he's ruined his dad's life, and no way a decent human being wouldn't feel bad about it. No matter how horrible that person is, if you ruin someone's life, even if they deserve it, you're going to feel crap.
He has a big move. I mean, did he do
it? He's burned his bridges there.
He has totally burned his bridges. Was it to protect his mum? Was it to protect himself? Was it just to pay his dad a lesson? Because at the end of the day, all of Jim's motivation for everything he's done in this storyline is because he just wanted to get his love of his life, Liz, back. And I know about how he's treated her in the past, but she is, in his mind, the one for him. And he may have been underhand with some of what he was doing, but I mean, you learn a few tricks when you're in prison, and he's a bit of a dodgy guy, but he just wants Liz back, and he wants to eventually, when he's out, be happy families with Liz and Steve, doesn't he?
The one good thing I can say about you is that you're a true romantic.
I know.
But other than that, I don't really know what to say about that.
But has Jim, and maybe I'm missing something, which I quite possibly am.
What?
Has he done anything really,
what?
Really...
Is that what you're going to say? Yes, move on.
To Jim, to Steve and Liz. I mean, Peter
yes,
was his...
threatening people with violence if they don't come to... visit. He's basically saying, if you don't come to see me, I will hurt.
That's because he's desperate and he's out of options. He's
Michael, that's not acceptable. It's not acceptable.
But doesn't it just show how much he loves Liz because he'd go to such extreme lengths?
Shut up. You're talking rubbish.
Oh, okay.
Yes, okay. In a fictional environment, this is fine. But in real life, please do not tell me you think it's acceptable to beat people up just to get back with your girlfriend.
Okay, fine.
Okay, can you see what you're saying?
So anyway, Steve's just even more depressed at the end of this.
Well, what happens is Tony and Liz decide to move in with each other.
Oh, yeah.
And then Michelle says, that's fine with me. What do you think? And Steve goes, well, who cares what I think? I'm useless. I would rather not be alive or something like that.
Yes.
Because he's depressed.
This is what depressed people
that's
say.
That's what depressed people say. Don't listen to them.
No.
They're crazy. That's the moral of the story.
Yeah.
They're not handling this very well, I don't think.
Don't you?
No.
Why?
I don't know. I think sometimes... who's the guy who plays Steve again?
Simon Gregson.
Simon Gregson kind of like... has this kind of petulant kind of like jokey way of saying things that are sad. And I just think it's...
his character.
I know. That's what I said. They ran a risk when they started this depression storyline with him that it wouldn't work.
It's interesting It's interesting that we haven't seen very much, if any, of Lloyd in this storyline, have
yeah,
we? Because they're
Lloyd
the best. They're
say?
The comedy buddies together. And I mean, he must have noticed something at work.
What I would like is Lloyd to be
Steve.
The template for how best to act around a depressed person, because it's really easy for them to just be like, oh, it's feelings, men don't talk about feelings, I'm just going to avoid you, because that's what everyone does.
Yeah.
I would like to see some kind of like really supportive kind of nice behaviour that you can say, okay,
yeah,
this helps me out. If I know someone who's depressed, I can just say what Lloyd said,
yeah,
which is, let's go and have a beer.
Yeah, we probably do, we need to see more Lloyd. Michelle...
I want Lloyd to react in a good way.
Do you think that Michelle is actually going to properly realise that she has been treating Steve like dirt for the past few years?
No.
And it's no wonder.
No, I don't think it's going to be anything to do with Michelle.
Because, I mean, she has been. And Steve says at the end, oh, why do you care what I think? Nobody cares what I say. But yeah, that's because Liz Michelle have not been caring about what Steve said. They were belittling him when he wanted to do that history course last year. They're always doing it, so... What do you think?
I don't know. I just think you've got weird standards for like what's acceptable.
Beating
like,
someone
not,
up in prison
it's not
is
okay.
fine.
It's that's fine, but teasing someone is not.
It's.
I don't I think any. I. What you're saying is like you're kind of saying this is an abusive relationship, but the trouble is, Michelle and Steve are always paid for laughs, really. So you can't then turn around and that would be like saying Jack and Vera had been in an abusive relationship the whole time, and it wouldn't work.
Michelle and Liz do seem to gang up on Steve.
Yeah, but it's for comedy reasons.
It just doesn't come across as funny as Jack and
Vera,
though, does it?
I know it doesn't come across as funny. That doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, okay.
You'd have to then retcon the whole relationship, and then we would have been slowly watching somebody being driven to the brink of suicide over the course of however many years they've been going out with each other, and just laughing the whole time.
All
which
I'm
just
saying
makes
is
it
I think
tragic.
That Michelle's behaviour towards Steve this time is in some way contributing to his depression at the moment.
You're very strange.
Okay. Platt, then. Also, behaviour. This
bad
is a
behaviour.
Bad behaviour from Kylie Platt. Drugs. Unacceptable.
Drugs are unacceptable.
Yes.
Unless the paracetamol.
Yeah, unless they're prescribed. Like the Ritalin. But that's unacceptable if it's not been prescribed to you. But anyway, Michael and Gail...
You have to check the name.
Yeah, exactly.
On the label.
Michael and Gail are coming back from their... Did they go to Bakewell?
They were in
or
Bakewell
we
for a whole week.
It was over a week, wasn't it?
Crazy.
It was over like a fortnight in Bakewell.
They're
what
sick
they
of Bakewell
there?
Tarts now.
Yeah.
Being lectured about what is a real Bakewell tart, probably. They're quite funny about it.
And we see Kylie acting a bit weird when David gives Max his pill, because she's obviously like, oh, pills.
Crazy. Like me, if I couldn't have any tea and I had to give people tea, I'd be like, oh, let me just smell it.
So she's distracting herself on Monday by tidying and cooking dinner for everything. And then when they
everyone.
Get back, they're everyone. When they get back, they're very impressed at how wonderful she is, and she's kept the house running smoothly. But she's secretly thinking, "Yeah, I'm not. I'm on the brink here. I'm not doing a good job at all." And she's almost caught by Michael, isn't she? He goes into the kitchen, and she's there looking longingly at her stash, but he doesn't spot anything for them. So Wednesday, she's apparently been tossing and turning all night. David says maybe she's coming down with something. She should just have a day off work.
But she doesn't take the chance. I don't know why she doesn't take the chance.
Well, she probably doesn't trust herself in the home at home on her own
well,
all day.
Well, she's got access now, isn't she? Because he said he'd tell her where the key was.
Yeah.
For the Ritalin.
Yeah.
In the salon, she gets Katie's drink order wrong. Oh, the horror. And she goes in to look at her drugs again. But instead of taking them, she takes some paracetamol, which doesn't really take the edge off, I don't think.
She thinks, well, at least I can't take anything for 4 hours now, whatever happens.
Exactly. Just put it off then.
No, she does. Because Audrey and David go off to cut some old people's hair or whatever. And then Kylie rushes in to take her pill, but she has to stop when Maria comes back in. Oh yeah, this was that silly thing with was it with Max then, wasn't it? Or was that later in the episode?
No, it
was
Liam.
Oh, sorry, Liam. Sorry, yeah.
No. So Maria says, "Look, can you sweep up for me?" So Kylie's, "Oh, okay." She hides the drugs in her little zebra case, which she's got her nail equipment in there, and she pops it on the side, and then Liam goes in it and starts rooting around in there, and Kylie shouts at him. To get out and leave it alone, because she's scared of the drugs. He's going to find the drugs. And then Maria gets on her high horse and starts telling Kylie that she has to apologise to
a 6-year-old. I couldn't believe it. Maria, she shouldn't have done that. I mean, Kylie maybe shouldn't have shouted at Liam, but you can understand why she did. But to tell your friend or your colleague or whatever, I expect you to apologise to my son for looking through your bag.
Yeah, no way.
In front of him.
No way.
That will make Liam now think, oh, so it's okay if I go through people's bags.
Yeah, I'm also the boss of adults.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Wrong.
That's exactly what it is. Haha, I've got this grown up.
To apologise to me.
Maria should not have done that. She was completely out of order.
And Kylie had a very good point. Even though she was worried about her drugs, she did say there's scissors and stuff in there. What if he had cut himself? I mean, nail files and things have got hooks. Some of them have got hooks on the end. If he had shoved his hand in there and wasn't looking where he was going, he could have cut himself on a pair of scissors or a nail file or any of the sharp implements that she undoubtedly has.
Yeah.
And it's just... And another thing, it's not hygienic either to have a little kiddie sticking their hands in something that's going to be...
No, I can just imagine it being in a similar situation at school. And if I'd shouted at a child for whatever, and then the parent comes in to me and sort of demanding that I apologise to their child, no.
I say, if in a situation with children, the adults are on one higher level, the parents on the highest level, and the kids on the bottom. And that's how it should be. And you don't get people apologising.
No, because then the child thinks that they've won.
Yeah, it's just that people don't know. It was weird. I just thought it was weird.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where all they wanted to do was have them bicker when Audrey and David
came in.
Yeah,
and she gets sent home in the end, doesn't she?
Yeah, that was the reason that they had this argument, they manufactured this argument. But surely Maria would be sensible enough to not demand an apology from somebody for disciplining her stupid child.
Because
she said, oh, well, I know more about parenting than you, so I have to medicate my children. Oh, yeah, she went out of order.
There was a tiny bit of the...
Because we know Marie's got a problem with that, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. There was a tiny bit of the Luke stuff as well, wasn't there? We were going to... Oh, it looked like it was turning into a storyline.
It might on Friday.
What happened in the end?
Audrey was just saying, oh, Luke said he was going to help me get a new radio. Luke's got such lovely hands. Maria's exactly.
So I hope they just hurry up and get on with that storyline so they can get it over and done with. That's all I can say. Roy. Well, this is Roy turning into Scylla. People listening
Roy
at the beginning.
Roy turning into Scylla?
Yes. People at the beginning might have even wondered why we're not having Scylla when we ran down our storylines of the week, because that was actually quite a big one, Scylla turning up. But we know it's not the same storyline as Roy, but...
So he was there. He was in the room,
so we're merging them together this week. So Fizz is trying to tell him to relax, so they invite him out to the pub for lunch. But he's not very good at socialising, is he? He can only talk about trains.
Sad.
Because he's distracted and worried about Haley and these youths, isn't he? Who he sees walking along the road when he comes out, and he goes and has a little panicky hide in the ginnel.
And we never
see Roy in there. I thought that was...
No,
it doesn't usually go there, does he? No, and just seeing him with his back up against the wall like that, sort of scared, I thought that was a good bit of acting. I felt concerned for Roy there.
And he also sees them driving around with loud music blowing later on in the cafe, and he turns the sign around to make it close so they can't come in.
Yeah, so is he going to turn into a recluse or something? Is that what this storyline is? Lock himself up away and turn into a crazy man, which he already is? I mean...
Big newsflash!
I just don't really understand why these kids have suddenly decided to start targeting Roy. It seems a bit manufactured, like, for the sake of the storyline, which
generally,
it obviously
people
is.
People don't tend to bother with people that aren't in their social circle anyway.
No.
Why would you bully someone that you didn't know? I can understand, like, bullying is kind of about social status and everything, and you'd assume that they already think that they're higher than him anyway.
Yeah, they don't really have any reason apart from they're bored and now this is the place that they're
and
hanging
also,
around.
They look about 30.
I know they do. I can't remember whether he said that on last week's
teenagers?
Episode or not. Yeah.
Shouldn't they be doing their AS levels?
Nobody does them in Coronation Street. Oh. Are we to assume that they're going to move in and start hanging out at the community centre? Because
that is the
place for teenagers and get them off the streets and get them... What do you do at a community centre?
Play
table football. That's exactly what I was thinking. That's the best thing you could do. Or read books or whatever. Are they going to hang around there and it's just going to be next door and they're going to be
boring.
Taunting it? It is a little bit. And there's been storylines in the past where Roy's been bullied and he's had Hayley there or whoever to support him. Now he's got Anna to support him. It's...
Boring.
It is. I mean, I like Roy, but I'm not into this storyline at all.
I don't care about people.
Although I was interested with him taking his cricket bat out of his cupboard at the end of Monday's episode, because why on earth Roy has got a cricket bat in his bedroom?
He didn't get involved in the cricket, did he, when they played it? He didn't even want to be involved at all?
No.
Why has he got a cricket bat then?
I mean, some people have things like that for their own personal protection, but I wouldn't have thought that...
You're
not allowed to. No, I know. I wouldn't have thought that Roy would have that.
Because I think it'd be good if you had, like, a baseball or something. So what am I supposed to do if someone breaks in? I just have to let them kill me.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not allowed to have things like that. You have
throw
to
the
prove,
cat at them.
You have to prove why you have it, even in your own house.
Yeah, so...
Ridiculous.
He obviously has got it because he feels nervous, but I don't know. I don't think he would have that. Did he have it when he had Hayley, or is it something that he's bought for his own protection?
Why?
I can imagine him, like, getting some trains and...
Was his protection before, and now she's dead, he's got to buy a cricket bat.
I can imagine him, like, using some trains as, like, nunchucks and spinning them around on the garages.
Or doing, like, an elaborate kind of Home Alone sort of making the train go through and sort of tipping paint on their head.
Yeah, exactly, that's what you should just do.
Sticking
doesn't
a firework
need, doesn't need
on
to
it.
Resort to violence on a cricket bat,
no.
That's not Roy's style.
No.
So anyway, Wednesday, Roy's... He invites Fizz and Tyrone over to dinner. They can't do it because they can't get a babysitter or something.
Blah, 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 babysitter is what they said.
Yeah, Emily is too busy
blah, blah, blah.
Watching American Horror Story.
Yes.
And so he gets invited to Sinead and Chesney and Fizz and Tyrone's dinner party.
Yes.
Yeah. So
while he's there, he offers to do the wedding catering for Kirk and Beth as a present for them.
Yeah, because
nice.
Roy can do shabby chic.
Yeah, he can make sandwiches.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
And then Param... In comes Scylla. So we've known that Wendy Peters is going to be coming back for a little while, and it's going to be a 6 week stint leading up to Jenny McCowan-Poyns' maternity leave. So here she is, back after how long? 7, 8 years maybe. Brilliant.
I kind of thought she was very subdued.
Yeah,
She was
definitely.
not the Scylla we know and love,
You
which
could
is a
see
shame.
tinges of it. But I mean, yeah, seeing interviews with Wendy and Stuart Blackburn and everything at the moment, they're purposely kind of toning her down and saying, well, she's getting
Why?
close to 50 now, and they're trying to
That's
make her a bit
bollocks.
more
Can I
realistic.
say that?
Yeah, we're not editing this episode.
I think that's silly because Scylla's whole point is that she's outrageous and out for herself, and I don't want to see what's the point of bringing her back? They might as well brought back any, you know, they might as well have had a new character if they're going to change her personality.
I think that when she was there having dinner with them, you could kind of see that she was still.
No.
It was not the same as it was. If she'd have, she
It's
what
silly.
it she should have come back like with Yana in tow or
Yeah,
something,
she
'cause
should
they
have
were a
come
great
back.
double
Do you
act.
remember who was it? Oh,
Who?
the mum who was in the pub with Della, Gloria.
Yeah, Gloria.
When Gloria came in, she was crazy to begin with, even when she was pretending that she had
Yeah,
cancer.
she came in with a bang,
Because
didn't she?
basically, Scylla's got something. You can tell there's something up with Scylla. That's why she's there. Her
Yeah, she's
arm's
got her
hurt.
arm in
She says
her.
she banged it, but we don't really know why. She seems subdued. But I prefer her to be guns blazing, the normal, you know, the Scylla that we love to hate. And she's just basically
I would hope that we're going to get
cowed.
to see some of that side. I mean,
They should have brought it out straight away.
she put her foot in it a bit with Roy asking where Hayley was and everything,
Yeah.
didn't she? And yeah, she wanted to go and see Hope. I mean, it's probably the fir is it the first time she'll have seen Hope?
Yeah.
I don't
She
know.
does, you probably may have forgotten, but she is
Hope.
Chesney and Fizz's mum,
Yeah, so
which
Hope's
is.
grandma. And has she even seen Joseph? I don't even know. She didn't
No.
seem in a huge rush
Well,
to.
she was talking to Sinead, like, Chesney, why are you going out with Sinead? What happened to Katie? Where's Joseph? Sort of thing.
Yeah, so she's trying to act the concerned mum. But yeah, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt at the moment.
Yeah,
It was
that.
a subdued entrance, and I
Maybe
think
she's putting on an act.
they can't have Scylla in for 6 weeks with some without some kind of craziness, I would hope.
Otherwise, don't bother, is what I'm gonna say.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm very happy to see her back. I mean, Stuart
Well.
Blackburn is the king of bringing people back at the moment, and Scylla was a great character. We're going to talk about her later in the character profile. I'd be happy for her to stay in longer than this 6 weeks, to be honest, but only, like you said, if they're going to make her crazy and wacky.
I don't need her to come back to be sad to make drama from nothing.
Yeah, with a
There's
bad
already
arm.
characters who can make drama without bringing them back. If you're going to bring back Scylla,
She
bring
needs to have
back
capers.
Scylla. Bring back Scylla. Don't bring back the actress who played Scylla playing miserable Scylla.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean, yeah. Let's just finish off then. So Windasses are going to have to have their house repossessed because they got
After
no
all this
money.
time, we
Yeah.
knew that it was coming, but it's taken this long for the
It's been so
court.
blissful not having Windass storylines for all these past few months. But yes, Anna's looking for houses. Faye finds out. She doesn't know that the finer details of it, but Anna was worried that she thought that Faye was going to be worried about moving, but she's like, yeah, whatever, that's fine.
Yeah, she's not
Ch
bothered.
ch children like moving house, don't they? It's exciting moving to a new place, I think. And that's kind of it at the moment, so.
Well, Anna tells Owen. No, Anna tells Roy about their problems, and I think there might be. I kind of got the impression that Roy's going to try and help them in some way, but then they never mentioned it again.
I don't know what Roy can do to help, but I
Well,
mean,
who
her.
knows whether Hayley had a load of money or something.
Maybe, I guess. He might try to help them out. I mean, Roy and Anna seem to be paired up. I mean, Anna was the one that saw the bullies off last week,
Well, don't
wasn't she?
forget that Roy's got a few sort of strays and waifs that he kind of. He's got Fizz and Tyrone, he's got Carla, and he's got Anna that he kind of looks after.
Yeah.
Now, Carla doesn't need help, like money wise,
No.
even though the business is constantly on the brink of bankruptcy. Fizz and Tyrone are okay now, they've got that money from Tony. And so, really, he can just. If he's got any money knocking around from Hayley.
Help
And
them
think about
out.
it now. Think about it like this. Although she used to work at the factory, she also used to work in the cafe. So he saved on wages there.
That's true. That's
and he doesn't
true.
Have to share his profits from the cafe with a frivolous woman who obviously only buys red anoraks in bulk.
I think it's just saying one as opposed to it. She's like me. Never gets a new coat or anything.
I know.
Yeah, so Winda says, all right, I'm not looking forward to that, but I assume that's going to start ramping up and maybe go up to some kind of Christmas poverty storyline where everyone
Christmas poverty.
Invite them round for dinner for turkey because they can't even afford...
Oh, Brussels sprouts.
Can't even afford a Bernard Matthews
turkey roll. We used to have when we were students.
Mm. Mm.
Param Community Centre.
We've got two bullet points in this. It's opening tomorrow and it's called... The Jamila Community Centre.
No, it's called Jamila House.
Jamila House, that's right, after Kel's dead wife.
Dead wife.
I thought it was a bit weird that she seemed to be revealing to Sharif and Kel and Zidane then and there that this is what she was going to call it. But how could they not have known before? Hasn't there, like...
they're not interested.
Surely by this point...
They literally don't
sign
care.
Should have been posted up, for example. No, or, I don't know,
don't
kind of
crap.
Headed notepaper or something.
No. They don't care.
No. So I don't like it called Jamila. But
no,
it reminds
stupid.
Me a bit of how the cafe used to be called Jim's Cafe.
Why
and
is
that
it called Jim's? What has she done? All she did was die.
Exactly.
Everyone does that.
Yeah. I don't like it called that. But I don't know what it should be called.
Param.
Param, yeah, of course.
Weatherfield Community Centre. What else?
Yeah.
Coronation Street Community
Coronation
Centre.
Street Community Centre. Well, except it's not on Coronation Street, Victoria Street
Just
Community
shut up.
Centre.
Stop ruining it.
Who is our character of the week this week?
Aren't you supposed to have a little dun-dun-dun-dun?
Who is our character of the week? Not character profile, dun-dun-dun. I don't know this week.
Character of the week.
Is it somebody like... I forgot to think about this again. But we should keep
you,
it up as a regular item.
I suppose you're in charge of this podcast, and you just
we all,
keep
equally,
it,
equally.
You?
Liz, maybe, again? For, like, standing up for Jim and... doing it for her family and sort of sticking it... I don't know if anything's completely stood
out. No
one's
been in it enough,
it's difficult after 3 days, isn't it?
Peter.
He's not done anything. I think it's probably a toss-up between Carla and Liz, but we had Carla last week, so...
Did we? I can't remember what's
going on. I said
Carla
last week, you said Mary last week. Nothing has hugely stood out to me.
It's difficult, because like, what does character of the week mean? Because...
The one you enjoy watching the most, or the
know,
one that's
but...
had the biggest character development, or
yeah, I know. But like, for example, Kylie had quite a lot of character development, or her plot moved forward this week. But it just annoys me.
Yeah, I think character of the week has got to be a character that you actually enjoy watching. So
sorry,
Zidane.
Like,
you never happen. Never happened to you.
No,
out of our crop of favorite characters, which one did we enjoy watching the most this week? And I would probably say Liz, although there's nothing amazing. There weren't any major funny comedy bits or anything this week, for example, were there? And that gets your points for character of the week.
A lot of my favourite characters are just having irritating storylines.
A little bit at the moment.
Like, I can't support Kylie on drugs. If I gave a character of the week, that would be sending the wrong message.
I know who the character of the week this week should be. The foreman of the jury for giving us our biggest shocking smile of the
week.
There
you go. The stars of tomorrow today.
Yep. Foreman of the jury, character of the week.
Yeah, because, let it be known.
Because you may gave us our biggest reaction of the week, and surely that's what character of the week should all be
surely.
About.
Surely. I concur.
But everyone else, step up your game a bit,
yes,
because really, you shouldn't have been beaten by that person.
You should have been beaten by a glorified extra.
Exactly. Let's do character profile now. So, our character profile this week, who else could it be but the lovely Cilla Battersby Brown, who's returned the grace of the cobbles.
Simon could be Battersby Brown. Why not?
Yeah, he could just be anything,
can't
he?
Make it up, didn't he?
So Cilla was born on the 17th of September, 17th of December 1965. So actually her 6 weeks in the programme is going to take her quite nicely up to her birthday maybe, or maybe a little, maybe she'll be gone a
and
little
how
bit
old
before,
is she
I don't
be?
Know. She is going to be 49 this year.
Ooh.
Ooh. She had one husband, Les Battersby. They married in 2005, although that didn't last particularly long. And she has three children, although everyone forgets about one of them. Her oldest son is Billy, and I don't even think we've got a date of birth for him, or even a year of birth for Billy.
Is
and
he
he's,
dead?
He's not dead. He's been in one episode. but I think we can just kind of forget about him, because he doesn't really get mentioned very much. He's a bit pointless character. Of course, the main children that we know and love are Fizz, who was born in 1985, and Chesney in 1994. Scylla first appeared on Coronation Street on the 20th of October 2003, and she has been in 315 episodes so far, and she is played by Wendy Peters, who has got a very posh accent in real life, because I've seen some interviews with her this week on ITV.com and stuff, and she doesn't sound like Scylla at all.
I'm going to throw out a very prejudiced statement here, but for somebody who's got such a posh accent, she sure has got a weird first name, because she spells Wendy with an I on the end, which is not the sort of thing you'd expect of somebody with such a plummy accent.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah. That's just my prejudice showing there.
Sorry, any Wendy's who listen to the podcast with an I.
She had formerly starred in Bad Girls, so obviously she was cast there because of her trendy chav name.
Don't, we're gonna get in
no if you have an I, if you have any name that's spelled a bit weirdly,
what, like Gemma with a J
is a chav name.
Gemma's views are not necessarily the views of this podcast as a whole.
No, you can't make me represent anybody.
Her casting was first announced on the 17th of September 2003 in a I didn't know who she was because we didn't watch Bad Girls, but
right.
So 2003 then, she was working at the Weatherfield Arms back then, so she was a barmaid at first. Les went in there and she was claiming that her name was Lulu for some reason. I can't even remember why particularly.
Spell L-O-O-L-O-O.
No, L-U-L-U. And later we see the scene where she bumps into Fizz, and that's when we discover that actually she is Fizz and Chesney's mum. No, we didn't know Chesney at the time, did we? I can't remember. No, we couldn't
you
have done.
Should know this.
We knew that she was... I wrote this a few days ago. We found out that she was Fizz's mum. We learned that she's the kind of mum who leaves children at home, because she's left Chesney at home to fend for himself.
They can't learn to live fend for themselves, then I'm afraid that they're doomed.
Well,
survival of the fittest.
She and Chesney move
she
into
really
number
into
five.
Darwin.
They move into number five by the end of the year. 2004, Chesney hurts his head in the cabin. He goes in there to steal some sweets, I think, and he gets a clip round the ear from Rita. During that, he knocks his head on a shelf, and then Scylla, we find her true colours straight away, and she tries to get as much compensation
and
as
compo.
She can. And compo, which is a very kind of Janice Battersby kind of thing to do, isn't it? So she persuades Chesney to make his symptoms seem worse than they actually are. Rita was arrested and had to end up paying £1,000. She never really held any grudge against Chesney, Rita didn't, and I think she took him under her wing a little bit, because she saw
he ends up being a paperboy, doesn't he?
Yeah, because she saw just how badly he was treated by Scylla. There was a bit of a grudge there between Rita and Scylla for quite a while.
Chesney even is like an orphan, been adopted by like a female Fagin, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Chesney later that year finds out that Scylla is still seeing her old flame, Ronnie Dudgeon. So
what an excellent name for a dodgy character.
I think Dudgeon. for Chesney used to like call him Uncle Ronnie or whatever, because he was like the man that always was hanging around with his mum, and he threatens to tell Les, but Scylla says that if Les finds out, he's going to end up in care, because Les is going to throw her up, so she basically blackmails him into keeping shtum. So she continues to see Ronnie, which Fizz and Kirk then find out, and Kirk tells Les, but rather than
throwing both of them out, yeah, Les just throws out Scylla and Chesney gets to stay.
Yeah. So Scylla goes off for 6 weeks and then comes back, rekindling the passion with Les. And then later that year, we have the funny love tub storyline. Do you remember when that happened?
Yeah.
They'd bought, what do you call it?
A jacuzzi?
Hot tub or something like that. So Les wanted to have a spanky hot tub in the bathroom.
We all want that.
We all know what happens to that, because they're always showing that on the clip shows. It ends up going through the floor into the lounge at number five. Very funny.
Because Schmeichel jumped in there
as well.
Rest in peace.
Comedy. And is this the kind of comedy Scylla that you want to see coming back now?
Well, not necessarily comedy, but just nasty, out for herself, doesn't care about anybody. Shrieking harpy is what she should be.
I think we will see some of that, to be honest. I I don't know about the comedy side of it that we won't, because they've said that they want to tone her down because the character was unrealistic, but it's what they're toning down maybe is the comedy. I think we'll probably see some of her nasty side, and I think that even she may have come just to see how the children are, because she's obviously ill, she's got something wrong with her wrist or something.
I've got repetitive strain injury.
Yeah.
I wanted to see you one last time.
Before I die, when my hand drops off, I just wanted to stroke my children's hair. But yeah, comedy capers. She needs somebody to play off, really, and she doesn't have Les. She doesn't have Yana anymore, and I think she needs somebody like that. She hasn't
got. Should have thought about that before they brought her back, then, shouldn't they?
Yeah, that's true.
So 2005, Les and Scylla dump Chesney on the croppers and they jet off to Spain, but they have to come back after a month and a half, and they face the wrath of Fizz and Janice for abandoning him.
Yeah.
Very naughty. And they also hatch a plot to get married, to get wedding presents.
This is so funny. The idea is apparently came as a joke during a boozy after-show party at the British Soap Awards, that wouldn't it be funny if Les and Scylla got married and the whole reason for it was because they wanted to get a load of presents, and then obviously what happened with the presents, well, we get to it in a minute. But this is a big wedding storyline, and it was an utter farce. As I was sort of researching it and remembering it, you just realised how stupid it was. And if you compare to the Tinkers, to Beth and Kirk's wedding storyline, which is it's supposed to be extravagant but a bit silly. I mean, this was completely over the top. Because basically, on the run-up to the wedding, Les caught Scylla with this younger man on top of him in a bra and knickers, and she'd say, oh no, it's just my son Billy, but actually it was some other guy that she was seeing. And then on the actual day of the wedding, which was Halloween, interestingly enough, Tracy's wedding is also due to be Halloween next week.
Mm.
Nice anniversary there. So they get married by a defrocked clergyman. So that's somebody who's not actually allowed to practice these things anymore. So they get illegally married, breaking into a church. Then they have to scarper away from the church when the real vicar turns up, and status quo play at their reception, who are obviously Les's idols. And the story behind that was something like they owed Les because they'd punched him because he'd been an arse at one of their concerts once. So he was like, well, I'm going to sue you unless you play at our wedding. And it was totally stupid and unrealistic, but actually made for a very funny episode. And of course, we had Scylla in her big meringue wedding dress with her 666 curls on her head. It was just like, you can just imagine in the writer's room just saying, what if this, what if this, what if this? And the producer's going, yeah,
okay,
why not? That'd be ridiculous. Let's make this an utterly, utterly silly wedding. It was so funny. And then what happens to Les's wedding presents in the end? These wedding presents that they've been striving for all this time.
Well, Les trashes them because he's living the life of a rock star, and that is what rock stars do.
Yeah.
They trash things.
He didn't do it on purpose. He thought
he couldn't
do
the singing bit, and he couldn't do the performing bit, but he could do the trashing.
He ended up on stage having a bit of a dance with them. He thought that he was trashing status quo's dressing room, sorry. And he thought all these presents there were just like the things that they'd sort of said, oh, we need to have our microwave and our toaster with us in our dressing room. But no, he accidentally...
Well, then it's his guest's fault for not wrapping the presents in appropriate paper.
It was a perfect ending to the story. It just built up. It was all because of these wedding presents, and it was all dashed. And then to top it all, Scylla ends up going off on the honeymoon with Yana because of him doing this and destroying their wedding presents. But they come back before the end of the year, and they get off screen legally married in a register office just because the first one wasn't legal.
Yeah. 2006, Scylla throws Les out because he slept with Janice.
Oh.
But she takes him back after he grovels.
Hmm.
And then we had a bit of a weird storyline when she gets skin cancer because she's got this, she had this sunburn, didn't she?
There in the middle of the lounge, wasn't it?
And this
it?
Was another thing that Corey sort of did because it was in the papers at the time, like the scandal of these sunbeds that are sort of unregulated and people were going in them without realising that it's actually incredibly dangerous.
I can't remember whether they specifically... and clearly made the link between,
I think, oh look, she's on the sunbed, sued.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember back, and I think that they were kind of skirting around the issue, but we know
that
this is
happened.
Why she was getting this skin cancer.
She's trying to keep it a secret.
Yeah, I think we think that she's like going off and seeing somebody or something, but yeah, she's getting this this melanoma or whatever treated.
Well, Scylla can't do anything by halves, so although skin cancer sounds scary, but actually if you catch it soon enough, it can be as simple as just taking a mole off. But She finds out that Les and Yana are sleeping together, and when everyone is really nice to her, she decides to pretend that she's going to die.
It's like a bit close to the edge, really, isn't it? Is that an acceptable storyline? Or...
Yes. She decides to pretend that she's going to die of this cancer, and she gets everybody on the street to raise money so that she can swim with the dolphins as her final wish. And she also decides that she wants to get Les and Yana to sit in a bath of mushy peas.
and only then does she reveal the truth, like, yeah, you're not going to Florida with me. I know what you've done. I'm going off on my own.
Yeah, so long. She goes off just after Christmas.
I think that Hayley should have turned around at the last minute.
Yeah.
And said, not really. I just wanted to get some strawberries off of you.
Woo! Right? Out of season strawberries.
So, that was the end of Scylla 2006. She jetted off there, but it was back in 2007.
Yeah, she comes back in January to Les because he can't look after Chesney properly. And then he goes off to be a roadie in May.
Yeah, that was when Bruce Jones was kind of swiftly written out of Coronation Street. So she was left on her own there. And like we said, she kind of needed somebody to play off. She still had Yana for a bit, but without the coupling there, she wasn't quite as good. So the final storyline really that she had was there was a battle between the chip shop that she and Yana worked at and the kebab shop, which Jerry Morton was running at the time. I think this must have been when the kebab shop just opened, maybe, and they were kind of fighting for the same kind of fast food customers. But in the end, Mr. Wong, because it was Wong's Chippy, decided to shut it down. And
shut it down?
Yeah, no job for them. So she took a job in a nursing home, which is
a silly
little
thing.
Bit out of character, maybe. I can't remember why she did it. There must have been a reason. But while she was there, she befriended this ruthless old man called Frank, and I think they stroke up a quite a good friendship because he saw that she was kind of
evil.
Heartless and evil, and he was a little bit as well. He's like a Mr. Burns kind of character, I think. He invited her to be his full-time carer in Las Vegas, and she was like, ka-ching,
yeah,
why not? Go. But sadly, he died before they got a chance to go. But he did leave her a £45,000 necklace in his will, which she used to leave the street for good, promising, of course, to send for Chesney later. But the call
never
came.
No. and off her time on the street, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was just going to say that Scylla's time in the street was pretty short but sweet, really, wasn't it? So it was from 2003 to 2007. But she really is quite a memorable character, isn't he? Because she's had all these big moments and silly storylines.
Yeah, because she's such a caricature, and that's why I'm worried they brought her back as shadow of a former self. For what reason, I cannot say.
I think
I do not know why.
She when she came in, everyone was like, oh, it's just Janice too. They don't want to have Les and Janice together, but who else is going to have her? And I think she was just like Janice to the extreme, wasn't she? Because she was a bit chavvy, but she did have a heart, and she did
like
care
Janice
for her kids and everything.
Because we've got three women that are quite similar. We've got Janice, Scylla, and Beth, and they're all very similar, but they're also quite different.
Yeah, I mean, Beth has really moved away
from
being
like
Scylla. She's great. She's lovely. The big difference being, of course, that she loves her son, and she's got her Craig necklace and everything.
And even just that small detail is enough to differentiate her.
Yeah, because she's still silly, and she can have some of the silly storylines, and she's funny. And
but I think what maybe you were trying to say before is that perhaps Coronation Street has moved on a bit from having these sort of really silly comedy storylines.
It has a little bit, which is a shame, really. But we've still got people like, who have we got that are funny?
Kirk.
We've got Kirk, and we've got Norris, and we've got Mary.
All of those
Steve's
characters
on hold at the moment a little bit. But there's nobody quite silly like, say, the Battersby's were. That's what they're missing at the moment, really.
And there's no reason not to have that in a show, in Corrie, because that's what
We know it's not realistic. And I think Coronation Street themselves say, we're not trying to be realistic.
We're not trying to be EastEnders.
Yeah. because of all these crazy things that happen and the murders and everything. But it'd be good to have a comedy character or comedy family come in. Although, I'm sure if they did it, it'd take a long time to warm up to them. Because that's what people are like. So we've got a quote from Wendy Peters. which was taken when she left Coronation Street in 2007. I've had a brilliant 4 years at Coronation Street. It's been filled with wonderful experiences and great opportunities. I felt very privileged to have been given the fantastic character of Scylla, and I shall really miss her. I'm looking forward to spending a bit more time with my families and pursuing and working on other projects.
You didn't say that in a posh enough accent.
Sorry.
So I
said projects and not projects, which is what Scylla would say.
Yeah, so although she left the street, she did have an appearance.
Final appearance.
In 2008 in the Out of Africa DVD special, where we found out what Scylla did next.
Yeah, so she went off to Las Vegas in 2007, but by 2008 she was living in South Africa.
Weird.
We haven't watched this DVD special. The only one I think we've seen is a Romanian Holiday, isn't there? They did quite a few.
Only because Becky's in it.
Yeah, exactly. So we haven't seen this, but maybe we'll pick it up if we see it for cheap one day. But here's the plot of it anyway. So she's trying to pass off a local man there as her husband. Kirk, she invites over, saying that he's mentally disabled, and Chesney confined to a wheelchair because basically she wants to win the Sunshine Family of South Africa contest. So she's like, come over and see me.
Really,
I know.
Inappropriate.
It seems inappropriate, but it seems completely silly as well, isn't it? It's just like all these other things that we said. So they're basically, the plot of the DVD is they're trying to dig up dirt on other rival families that are also going for the competition. I think Chesney has a relationship with the daughter of one of the families or whatever. And eventually, anyway, the Browns win somehow, until Chesney stands up out of his wheelchair and revealing that it's all been
That's
a scam.
That's just insensitive, because as we know from Izzy, you can stand up, but you still might need a wheelchair, so...
Yeah, that's true.
People shouldn't be surprised if people stand up out of wheelchairs. They've got no idea why they're there.
But anyway, Scylla is labelled the world's worst mother on South African TV.
And this was before Honey Boo Boo, so that there wasn't much
competition. No. So there we go. That was the last we saw of Scylla. And I'd quite like to see that, having read about it, because it seems completely outrageous.
I can't imagine why it doesn't fit in at all with the rest of Coronation Street. It's kind of like a farce.
Well, I think these DVD stories outlines are, aren't they? Because you read about the Knight's Tale one, and that seems completely farcical.
At the moment, I'm watching a TV series called It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and it's been on for a long time, but I haven't seen it. I'm catching up now on Netflix, and basically, the basic idea of it is that all the people in it are just horrible, selfish, nasty, ridiculous people. And I can imagine them doing that, but I can't imagine anyone...
No.
I can't imagine it's...
In real life.
No. No.
So after... Wendy finished at Corrie. She did quite a lot of theatre work in the end. She was playing in The Mystery of Edwin Drood, Rutherford and Sons, and White Christmas. And she is actually back at the Dominion Theatre this Christmas doing White Christmas. So if anyone's in...
Oh, lovely.
Anyone's over there...
I want to go see a pantomime or something. We did, didn't we? We went to go see one at...
Yeah, but there's nobody famous there. On the Coronation Street blog this week or last week, there was a whole list of where you can see Coronation Street
really?
Stuff. There's nobody around here, sadly. But there's absolutely loads up and down the country of people playing in Aladdin or whatever. Like Nigel Bravaro's doing a Jafar kind of role in Aladdin. I know he's not a proper Aladdin character, but and there's like, I can't remember, Stephen Arnold, who was Ashley, is doing one, and there's absolutely loads. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think anyone's coming to our local theatre.
Well, the Mayflower is the biggest theatre outside of London, so it's not like we're in the sticks or anything here. We have a very respectable...
I think we are when it comes to Coronation Street stars, though, aren't we?
Well, if they can't
coming
be bothered
all the way down
to come down here, then I'm afraid they don't deserve my custom. Oh. I'm trying to find out what we've got coming up.
What's the name of the woman?
We have Wicked playing at the moment, just, you know, as an example of how
awesome our local theatre is. The thingy who played Kelly Crabtree is doing is being an evil Snow White queen in one of them.
Snow White queen.
That'd be quite a good one to see. But
we've got Noel Fielding's coming up. Dees and Worcester's coming up. We've got the Dickensian Christmas crime murder mystery, but you can't buy tickets for it because it's sold out.
No Coronation Street stars.
I can't find what we're...
No Corrie people have been here since we were doing the podcast, because we'd like to be able to get in and an interview with them or something.
I'll tell you what I wanted to go to, but you can't book tickets for anymore. Sing Along of Frozen.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have gone to that.
That would have been fun. So, Scylla is back in Coronation Street. She has said, I'm really thrilled to have the opportunity to revisit Scylla and the Cobbles for a short while and to see what she's been up to for the last 7 years. We find out that she is, of course, no longer living in South Africa. She's been living in the far less glamorous Wolverhampton. Sorry, anybody
harsh.
Who's from Wolverhampton.
Very harsh.
I hope we do find...
So, tell you who we've got playing in our esteemed pantomime in Southampton this year. We have Brian Connolly and the Buttons... And Gok Wan as the fairy godmother.
Hang on a minute.
So don't tell me that we don't have proper celebrities here.
Isn't Brian Connolly the bloke who played Danny Baldwin? Or am I making this up?
There's his face.
Oh, no, it's not. He looks like him a bit.
Well, I don't think
he's the guy that I get mixed up with.
I don't think you can... Your claim to fame can be you're the famous guy who looks a bit like another famous guy who's once in Coronation Street.
Yeah, okay then.
That's like fit 5 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
I wonder what Scylla has been getting up to for these last 7 years. I'm kind of interested, but I don't want to get too bogged down in it.
Too bogged down.
But it's gonna lead to Fizz leaving in 6 weeks' time. So I don't know what it's gonna be. I mean, whether Fizz is gonna go and have to be a carer for a mum, which is usually how they get rid of people on maternity leave, don't they? Or my mum's fallen down the stairs, or
again,
whatever.
How?
But this time the mum has come back first. So I'm looking forward to it. But like you said, we hope that there are some scams. We hope that there's some kind
She's
of outrageous.
To, otherwise, literally, no point bringing her back.
Otherwise, it is just Wendy Peters, basically. But mm-hmm. I mean, she's dug up her old gold jewellery out of the attic and everything. She scrubs up and she looks like Scylla. We just want to see a bit more Scylla-like behaviour, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go. There's a bit of a catch-up for anyone who didn't know who Scylla is, if you have not been watching as long as we have.
Write in and say... Yeah, we're experts. Write in and say what you think of Scylla. Are you happy to see her back? Would you like to see her back, but maybe not as Scylla-tastic as she used to be? Do you hate Scylla? And do you think that Beth is good enough? You don't need another fake Janice, fake Scylla.
Yeah, we're still waiting, Beth. And I think everyone is, for the Beth Scylla showdown.
We said ages ago we wanted to see Scylla come back and take on Beth. We also said we wanted Janice to come back as well.
Yeah.
I would like to see the three of them. I That'll don't be, think that
lock
they
them in a room together.
They wouldn't. I think they're the same person.
Who would survive? I'd like to think that Janice would. Would wipe the floor
Shriek
with them,
them
if it was
down.
A fight between the three. Right, let's move on and do the cabin now. Okay, it's time for the news. It's just a really short edition of the news because we will be having a cabin extra, in fact, double dose
okay,
later.
Yep.
But first off, yeah, Gemma's just put the dinner in the oven. We've got 12 minutes to finish this off. Brilliant news. Coronation Street tour is staying open for a little bit longer.
That's right.
Sadly, it's not staying open indefinitely, but it's going to see the Christmas through, which is fantastic because we've been saying right from
the start
that they need to have some kind of Corrie Christmas themed thing,
yeah.
Which they are actually doing. They're pulling the stops out from what it looks like for Halloween next week with all the Richard Hillman and everything. But in November, it's going to be closed for a couple of weeks and transformed into a winter wonderland with snow, carols and a Christmas tree there.
Lovely.
So there's going to be lots of Christmassy events
Christmas.
And I'm sure they'll get some of the stars there at Christmas. I'd love to go there and see this.
Well,
whether or not we'll make
go.
It up, I don't know.
Why? We never will if you say we won't.
Well, we have a quote from Juliana Delaney, who is a continuum that's running the place. I am thrilled to announce we've been able to extend the opening of the attraction. The feedback we've received so far has been phenomenal. I'm so pleased that those who have yet to experience the tour will now have the chance to. The extension paves the way for us to make some exciting changes to the attraction and give past and present visitors a chance to see something new.
See past and present.
Oh, I know. I think the amount of changes that they're making... It can certainly mean that it's worth a double visit. I mean, normally, I wouldn't bother. If it was just going up there to see the same kind of thing again and say a final farewell to the street, I don't think we can afford that, or it's not particularly worth it. But the fact that they've changed so much of it, and I think they might be changing a few of the inside bits as well, it is really, really worth a double visit. And if anyone gets up there for Halloween next week or gets up for Christmas and we don't, please let us know what it's like there.
I want to have some more
Send us some
cake.
Photos. But yeah, like I said, we'll be back at the end of the episode with some cabin extra. Yeah, send Gemma some Eccles cake, please.
I can buy Eccles cake here. I just would like to
authentic
have...
Eccles cake from Eccles. Yeah, we've got cabin
mouth.
Extra at the end, but we are going to whiz right on with some feedback now.
Feedback section. We've got quite a few emails. We've got so many emails. We've saved one for next week. which we just literally got. So the first one we've got is from Rebecca, and she says, great podcast this week. I have to agree with Carla for character of the week. Both the character and Alison King were great last week, but it was very hard to choose as there were so many good choices this week.
Yes, yeah,
so I wonder, Carla, Rebecca, what you think of our shoddy job of choosing character of the week this week. I'd like to know what you think. Christina said, there are a few things worrying me about my future enjoyment of the street at the moment. My main concern is Deirdre not being in it for 3 months. Are we really expected to believe that she would miss Peter's trial, Tracy's wedding, and Christmas? To me, this is so unrealistic. Surely the actress could have waited a bit longer for a break. I never stopped to think just how much I love Deirdre's character until it was announced that she was not going to be in it for 3 months.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, Deirdre's been fantastic with Ken away, but this is utterly the wrong time to have left, and we don't know what personal circumstances Anne Kirkbride has had to leave for.
But anything.
There's no way in real life that she'd be up off on her jollies with Bev during the trial, the wedding particularly.
All important stuff for the Barlows. I can only assume it's some kind of really important, horrible.
I know, which is why we don't want to.
Don't want to put her down for it, because I can't imagine that this has been a decision that's been taken lightly, but.
It's a real shame for the character, but it was like when Sylvia left, wasn't it, kind of leaving Roy in the lurch just before the whole cancer storyline properly kicked in. But we will be waiting for Deirdre to come back. Can't wait to see her again. Secondly, Christina says, I'm a little concerned about whether William Roach is still up to the job. On the trifle episode, William Roach did seem to mumble his lines. I didn't catch who it was that Ken thought Deirdre should go and stay with. I did have a look on the internet to find out, and people were saying that they didn't catch what he said either. One person said that she had to rewind the episode 4 times before she realised that he said Bev. I hope that this mumbling is just a one-off.
Mm.
Well, we did notice, I wasn't sure that it was Bev. When we said it was Bev on the podcast, we thought it was probably that. I hope he's doing okay. I mean, we know that there have been characters in the past who've been mumbled. Like, I mean, Albert Tatlock was a mumbler up until he was written out, and Ina Sharp was as well. But I don't know. We maybe have to wait and see a little bit more evidence before we write him off. But I mean, William Roach isn't among the top 10 actors on the street anyway. So his mumbling.
He's more like a mascot.
Exactly. Thirdly, Christina says, the Kylie storyline is proving a bit tedious now. I personally think that what's going to happen is that she's going to get very heavily into drugs and have to go into rehab, which will be her exit storyline for Paula's maternity leave. That sounds definitely likely.
I feel a bit like a stuck record sometimes with Coronation Street, because most of the time with continuing storyline, the thing we always say is, this is dragging out, this is getting boring now. And it can't be like a problem with all soaps that they cannot do a lengthy storyline. But Coronation Street just doesn't seem to be able to do long storylines without repeating the same scenes over and over again.
Round and round circles they do, don't they?
They just seem to sort of have them in a holding pattern while they're finishing off a different storyline.
Minor clock twists here and there. But
they've just sunk into that again.
Yeah.
So we've also got a message from Joe. She said, my afternoon is much better having listened to your podcast.
Yeah, we had to make sure that we got this out by Monday afternoon, because that is when Joe listens to them.
Exactly. Hope you all got a nice rest afterwards. Nope. It made me think, I wonder how long they'll leave it to recast Tommy or Paul. They recast characters for fun in EastEnders. I can't keep up with the Bens. The Bens?
Whoever that is.
It sounds like I said the Bens.
Oh, yeah.
Every time he comes back, he has a new head. They will have to bring back some Duckworths at some point, I think. After Paul left the show, he was working in the Manchester pub.
Britain's Protection.
Oh, but he wore glasses to hide his identity, like Clark Kent. Didn't work.
Yeah, I bet that Chris Gascoigne couldn't get away with that either. I don't think they'll recast Tommy, because it'll just dredge up the whole Chris Gascoigne thing, which ITV want to bury, I think. They don't want to mention it again. As much as they carried on mentioning Tommy after he left.
I can't believe how much they mentioned Tommy. He's like the most beloved character as far as mentions go.
But yeah, for Tina, but I honestly think he's out of it.
I agree though, the Duckworths should be still in it.
Yeah, like the Barlows, which is why we don't want Simon to change his name. Yeah. Because Ken's not gonna last
forever.
He'll
get over it. He'll when Peter presumably is found.
He'll be let off, it'll be
fine. He's gonna appeal, isn't he? So
well, yeah, because he's innocent, he's not gonna end up guilty in prison. That happens so rarely. I mean, we had Angela Harris, but yeah, he'll be fine.
He'll be all right. Don't worry, Peter. Right, so Devore. She's our final feedback provider.
No, we've got two more.
Oh, okay.
Let's get going. Right. Keep going.
DeVore says of Peter's trial, I think there are enough loopholes in the evidence to go for reasonable doubt.
Yes, this was sent before the verdicts, by the way.
Especially the fact that if Peter had been hiding the murder weapon under his clothes, there was no blood on his clothes. The bracelet was washed before Peter touched it. Even if Deirdre wasn't there to testify to her cleaning it, someone should have wondered why Deirdre's prints weren't on it in addition to Peter's.
Clever.
And Tracy's, because she was wearing it. Because it's a soap, he might get convicted anyway until the truth comes out, but I think he will be set free, and that adds to the pressure on Rob. Well, DeVore, if any of you had written the show, because what you say makes a lot more sense than what actually happened in the show.
Yes.
She said, I figure Terry didn't come back for Jack's funeral because he knew by that time that Jack didn't have much left to give him. Always enjoyed Terry's returns. He was a panto villain and good fun to watch, even though Nigel Bavaria wasn't much of an actor.
Ooh. Yeah, I guess maybe not. He's not been brilliant. But he will be a panto villain this Christmas, as we said earlier.
Exactly.
Thank you, as always, for your email, Tibor.
Yeah.
And finally, this week, we've got Miranda, who's tried to resist the temptation of listening to our last podcast, because we've been saying about Canadians, do they watch at the time we record it, or do they wait just a week now? Well, she said that she wanted the trial to be a surprise for her, but she could not resist us.
Don't listen to this then, Miranda. You've just discovered, haven't you?
Yeah, just discovered from us that he's guilty. She just loves Conversation Street too much to keep away. Even though I knew what would happen, the trial was a real treat to watch, she says. Great acting all round. I particularly and oddly liked when Leanne was on the stand. She seemed pretty genuinely not trying to drop Peter in it, even though she did. Oops. I always liked Leanne and Peter together and have never been a fan of Carla. Ooh.
Oh my God.
Don't say that in front
Carla's
of Gemma.
My girl.
Does anybody else think it's weird that Peter is suddenly over his alcohol withdrawal symptoms since getting out of the hospital?
They have special pills you can take.
He's in some kind of special therapy or whatever for it now, isn't he? It's just not been mentioned.
You can't wave a magic wand.
It's a kind of, yeah.
It's convenient kind of, alcoholism, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing that will come back if they ever want it to. But yes, he has been completely clean. He's not been getting the shakes or anything.
Right.
There have been scenes that there have been weeks without Peter that you've suddenly made this miraculous recovery. I do hope the writers do justice to Steve's struggles with depression. It's very common, and for men especially, I think they tend to try and sweep it under the rug because they think what they have, that they're having depression or anxiety or panic attacks, makes them less tough.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that Steve sees himself as a tough guy anyway. He's quite...
It's not about that, though. It's not even about that. It's about the perceived idea of what a man should be and any kind of weakness, even if you're not a macho guy. Any kind of weakness is bad.
But the fact that he was whinging on about the mole and everything, and he was like worried that was going to kill him. His hypochondria, I don't think he's worried about seeming tough, but he is sweeping it under the carpet anyway, definitely at the moment. As somebody who has been through anxiety and depression and overcome it, I sometimes cringe at the way it's portrayed in the media, but I think they will do a good job.
I agree, it's portrayed very badly.
Yeah, and it's like having a mope and being depressed
thing
is,
they can
is
do
quite
with
different,
this.
Isn't
the
it?
The worst thing they can do with this is to have him snap out of it.
Yeah, I don't know anything about depression or the issues around it or anything, so I'm not going
to
know.
I know enough to know that I can't make any comments about it.
Yeah, well...
It's different for everybody.
Miranda finished off by saying she wanted to leave us a Skype voicemail this week again, but she's got a cold like us. I hope you didn't catch it off of us, Miranda,
sorry.
through the airwaves. But she said she's sounding like Deirdre at the moment and didn't want to get us all excited that a Corrie actor was calling.
I think we would have discovered...
Yes.
We would have realised quite quickly that we're not important enough. But... That doesn't mean you can't phone up and cough down the phone at us, because it would have been entertaining.
Yeah, or anybody else. You can find us on Skype. We are at Conversation Street on Skype. So if you want to send us a voice message, then do that.
And it doesn't matter if you're not a Corrie actor.
And we don't mind if you've got a sore throat either.
No.
But just don't leave a 5-minute message, because we wouldn't want to be responsible for lengthening your symptoms.
Exactly.
Just email us at conversationstreet.podbean.com if you'd like to share your thoughts, or find us on Facebook at Conversation Street, or give us a tweet. We're at Conversation Stir. And yet again, we'll have our weekly plug for please give us a review on iTunes. It is important to us, and we like it when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is it for the main regular show. We're going to whiz on now to the cabin extra. So anyone who wants to stay away from spoilers, I'm sure you already know about this anyway, but we always put this here. Thank you for listening. We'll be back at some point next week. But let's move on now to the cabin extra. So we have not one, but two exciting announcements for the cabin extra. That makes it sound like we're announcing it.
I know.
Sorry, news stories to cover. And one of them has just popped into the news today. First off, the less exciting one, I guess, but still quite exciting, is that Jenny Bradley will be back. That means little to me and probably even less to you, but I'm sure that some of our listeners will remember Jenny Bradley. I remember because I watched the classic Coronation Street episodes, and she wasn't in it for a huge amount of time, but basically Jenny was one of Rita's foster daughters, and obviously the daughter of the infamous Alan Bradley, first huge, big Coronation Street villain that met his maker under the wheels of a Blackpool tram. But after that all happened, Jenny kind of blamed Rita for it, and the last we saw of her was in 1993, and she was there extorting money from Rita for some such. So I would have thought that when she comes back, Rita's checkbook is going to be opening again. But I don't know, I hope not. I don't want it to be too much of a depressing storyline for Rita and to have her like be a miserable old woman again. But I don't think she's going to be happy to see Jenny after all these years, particularly after her other foster daughter, Sharon Gaskell, showed up in the late 90s and she ended up sort of throwing Rita under a bus almost and getting a load of money off of her. Rita's going to be very, very wary. But the whole storyline is going to come back with she's going to meet Kevin on internet dating, and they're going to have some kind of romance, which is good, really, because we've said that Kevin is absolutely deadwood at the moment and he needs something to take him away from Sally, if anything else. Yep. So this could be quite an interesting storyline.
I think the writers have realised they can't take Tim and Sally apart because they're just too good together.
Yeah, so good idea. And I like old characters coming back. Jenny doesn't particularly hold a place in my heart, but I mean, it'll be another contender for the Redhead of the Year award, at least, and Corey needs more redheads. Yeah. Gemma, who else is coming back?
Sarah Louise Platt.
Yay! Now, weren't we just talking about her last episode?
And Bethany as well. I can't believe it.
Probably not the same actress for Bethany, but we are going to be having Tina O'Brien coming back as Sarah Lou in the springtime, which is now, fantastic.
Previously, we had said about Bethany that we wanted her to come back in a few more years' time, when she's 16, 18, as an Italian bombshell,
yeah,
to kind of get all the boys drilling. And she, when she comes back, if they don't do a bit of a retconning, she's going to be 13, which is,
I think,
too young.
Is that right? Is it 13 or 14
or so?
That's
what you told me.
That was me estimating. She's not quite going to be old enough to be the sexy Italian bombshell.
No.
But whether or not they'll even cast an Italian actress or an Italian English actress with her, I don't know. But I can't. But I mean, Bethany has been living, growing up in, I can't remember
Milan,
whereabouts.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is Milan. I think you're right. For a good
capital of
sort
Europe.
Of 7-8 years now, and she's at that stage in her development where she's gonna have an accent.
She's gonna be a moody teenager.
She's gonna be a moody teenager. She is. That they've already said that she's gonna be a wild child or something.
But yeah,
she's got to be Italian.
She's got to at least be bilingual. Surely.
I mean, she'll have been living with Sarah Lou, obviously, and she's gonna be staying English.
Yeah.
And I think I think they're still living with Uncle Stephen over there as well. But to cast a British, thoroughly British Lancaster or Yorkshire actress to play Bethany is
a bit
unbelievable. But brilliant that she's back, and I'm really, really looking forward to this.
I'm gonna try out for it. I could be Bethany.
No, you could not.
Hey, it's a me, Bethany. I've come back from Milan.
Oh, what the hell is this spaghetti bolognese?
Ecco, it's a cake. It is not a cake.
On the ITV website, they are saying at the moment,
good.
It was very good. Thanks. Gail is already facing a turbulent few months with her dysfunctional family and will no doubt be delighted her daughter and granddaughter are back in the fold. Wonderful dysfunctional plats, just what we like. But it looks like her only daughter is going to cause her as much grief as sons Nick and David, whilst granddaughter Bethany has also grown into something of a wild child.
Why would she be anything but trouble? Because that's what Sarah Louise was about.
I can't wait. She was quite ditzy, wasn't she? I'm looking forward to seeing Sarah Louise maybe go head to head with Eva or something, because she's bound to come back and it's going to throw Jason for six.
Yeah.
And I'm just waiting to see the Sarah Lou and Eva showdown. Although this return could coincide with Catherine Tilsley's maternity. Could it cause Eva to go off? Or is what I think is going to happen, She's going to come to the street. Eva's going to be away somewhere. She's going to have some kind of rekindled romance with Jason. And then Eva's going to walk back and catch them at it or something. And I also, as we're on predictions, Bethany, Simon, it's going to happen.
No, they're too young. I don't want to see that.
childhood sweetheart.
I'm annoyed that they brought Bethany back too young to do any of the cool stuff that I thought she could do. I would think it would be awesome to have like an 18-year-old girl come back, Bethany, Italian. Even though obviously she was born and bred in England, they can throw that out the window and
yeah,
just make her like
big
wavy brown, like Nigella Lawson-esque kind of big mama kind of Italian sexy lady coming and throwing a spanner in the works. But she's 13. That's too controversial. You don't know. She's just going to be a kid. She's going to be a young kid. She's going to be.
I'm sure they'll make her glamorous. I mean, Bethany, the old Bethany was like
she's
a cute kid.
She's too young to be glamorous. She's too young. I can imagine them bringing her back like Beth. No, who was that? Grace, I mean. Grace.
Oh, yeah, maybe something
kid.
Like that. Yeah, I guess we're going to see some.
Even that was cringy because they were too young, really, to be messing around and.
Yeah.
Children that young shouldn't be made figures of hate in a soap for adults, I think.
I guess.
That's why.
I assume that we're going to have some maybe Bethany, Faye friendship or rivalry as well.
Because didn't we have, like, obviously, Sarah Louise, how old was she when she had Bethany?
12 or 13.
Yeah, so, I mean, is history going to repeat itself?
Oh, that's why I put that on Twitter earlier. Is Audrey going to be a great-great-grandma by the time the decade is out? They've got to do it.
Is child pregnancy, is it hereditary?
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
I honestly think that we're if Bethany's back for good, and I hope that Sarah Louise is, because, go Team Platt, Bethany, she's got to have a baby young.
If we'll know as soon as we know who they cast, where they're going to go with this character,
yeah.
Based exactly on how she looks and how old the actress is going to be. Because just because she's 13 doesn't mean they're going to cast.
It could be played by someone older.
They can cast someone
a lot older,
and I don't know what their cut-off point for how sexy you can have an actress. Because there's no reason why she can't play a 13-year-old in the soaps.
Now, Tina O'Brien's older than Sarah Lou.
Of course, but, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
Are they kind of, like, grooming her to be the next Michelle Keegan?
Possibly.
Because it's so cringy talking about this, but they really, unless they're going to retcon the character and make her older, which you don't think
they
will
can't
do.
Because you'll be catching up with Sarah.
But they can change Sarah's age.
But maybe. I don't know. I don't think they'll change any ages.
Just think it's an intriguing age to bring a child of 13 into, because it's such a twilight zone for Coronation Street, especially because they don't have any teenage characters really. They've got older, you know.
Yeah.
They don't mind having the older characters in there. They don't mind having the children.
They've got Craig
as
an awkward kind of in the middle.
Exactly, and Craig does has no one to bounce off of. Is Bethany going to come back as a nerd? Is she going to be a little nerdy rat loving Craig's best friend kind of? Sinead-y kind of teenager.
I don't think so, no. I think the Bethany, it's just unfortunate that she's not old enough. I think they wanted to bring back Sarah Lou, and if you're bringing back her, you kind of got to bring back Bethany. I mean, they wouldn't have had her stay over in Milan with Stephen.
No, they could do if they wanted to. Let's face it, they must have a plan for what they're going to do with Bethany.
Yeah, I hope it's good. I don't know how long this return back is, but I mean, if it's anything like Todd or Liz or whatever, then could be for the long term.
Could be for a long time.
So there we go.
Which is why I want to play. I'm going to try out.
Oh yeah, okay. Final quote of the episode from Tina O'Brien. She has said, "I'm delighted to be returning. Sarah has a lot of history and unfinished business on the street, and I'm looking forward to finding out what she's up to and why she's returned home."
And here's a quote from the actress who's going to play Bethany. "I can't wait to be on Coronation Street. I'm so excited.
I'm going to be famous.
I have been doing the Conversation Street podcast now for long enough that I feel that it's about time they gave me a proper role on street and money.
Put you in pigtails.
I find it strange they asked me to play a 13-year-old, but I still look young enough to be able to pull it off,
even though
I'm 32. I'm only just 32. I was 31 just this month, so.
Yeah.
So thanks very much, and I can't wait to join the cast.
Don't give up on the dream.
Exactly.
Could happen. So thank you for listening to us once again for our shorter than episode. Well, it's supposed to be shorter than usual, but it still turned out to be
exactly
normal length. I don't know really how that happened. We witted on about I don't know what.
Nonsense.
I'll try and get this uploaded tonight. Hopefully there's not any horrible things that I haven't been able to edit out.
Bollocks. So.
Don't say it again.
Sorry.
We can't say that thing on iTunes.
You can. What? Really?
Well, you have
don't tell anybody that we said
don't
that.
Don't say anything.
And we'll see
word.
You probably this time next week, maybe.
Yes. See you then. Bye-bye. The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.